Welcome to the Christ Life. We are so glad that you are joining us today. Of course, I'd like to want to welcome back Rex Bornman, who has been ministering out of state. We've been talking about a series of messages, really, that is based out of Acts chapter 1. As we are approaching Pentecost, we believe that a big part of the Christ life is walking in the empowerment of the Spirit that Christ has offered, and certainly the early church, all of them expected to walk in a dynamic of the Holy Spirit. And we believe that the Lord wants you to walk in that same dynamic. So we've been talking about when that happens is people know that Christ is alive and active and available. In fact, in Acts chapter 1, coming back to that, Jesus is, Luke's recording this time period between Jesus' resurrection and then ascension. And in verse 3 says, he presented himself alive to them after his sufferings. But listen to these next words, by many proofs. This is a big part of what we're going to talk today, because Jesus still wants to prove that he is alive and active and available in the world today. That means, you know, it can be sound very abstract when you say world. That means your world. It means my world, the people who are around us. He wants to show himself to be alive and active and available. He wants to prove that he's not dead, that he's not in a grave. You can't go dig up some grave and find the bones of Jesus there. Goes on and says, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them, again, important words, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. We talk a lot about the Christ life, and a big part of the Christ life is, as I mentioned earlier, is about you exchanging your life for his life. Regardless of how great you think your life is, even how great others may think your life is, it really doesn't measure up to much when you compare it to the life of Jesus, who lived a perfect, sinless life and impacted the world forever. And so when you begin to make those kinds of comparisons, it becomes much more realistic and it makes much more sense to exchange your life for his life. And once you do that, you begin to move into a dynamic of the Spirit-led life where now you begin to show that Jesus is alive and active and available, not just through words, but through deeds as well. Our world is filled with words, just words that are spoken on television, YouTube, all kinds of social media, print on, and words have less and less meaning. But when you begin to prove his works by the kind of works that Jesus did, then things begin to really change, because this world, your family members, your children, your grandchildren, your coworkers, the people that you come across regularly on a day-to-day basis, whether it's in Starbucks or a grocery store, they need verification. They need evidence that Jesus is actually alive and active and available in this world today. And these aren't new questions. In fact, even as Jesus is preparing to go to the cross, found in John chapter 14, really begins to open this whole teaching up. But what happens is that Jesus begins to really drive home the point that he's leaving. He's not going to be with them anymore. So questions begin to arise. And what you find is Philip, actually being one of his disciples, he's walked with him now for 3 years and has been interacting with him, yet still wants proof. He says, well, at least you can show us the Father. Could you do that? Because what he was witnessing was he was witnessing Jesus in the natural, but he wanted to see into the supernatural. He wanted to see the Heavenly Father. Apparently at that moment, even in that question, he forgot that if he's to look on the Father in that moment, if he was to get shown the Father, he's going to die anyway. But nonetheless, he wanted to see. He wanted proof of something more. And so then what you find is Jesus's response to this. And I really want you to get this as we really move into the mechanics of the miraculous, because this is how Jesus responds. He says, I've been with you so long and still you do not know me, Philip. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Listen to these next words. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. So it wasn't just the words Jesus says. Jesus said there is an activity that is associated that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. There are proofs here. goes on, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Let me stop just for a moment here, because this is a critical statement that it's easy to get lost in our world and easy to get lost in our Americanized Christian world. If you're going to live the life of Jesus, you're also going to do the works of Jesus. The God of heaven is looking for you to have Jesus's life expressed not just in you, but through you. Through you, and not just the character of Jesus, and certainly that's a big part of it, but also in the power of Jesus, where the miraculous is experienced so that the words that you say have substance to them. They're not just floating off into the rest of the world. He goes on, he says, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, context is critical here, because it's to a great shame that the American gospel has prostituted this into making our lives more comfortable, that has made our way of living, that's what really God is all about. Let's just make our life so we can prove to the world that God is alive, because I am more healthy, I live better, I have more wealth, I have bigger houses, better cars. Yuck. None of that stuff is eternal. None of that stuff really matters to the Heavenly Father. When Jesus is saying, when you ask anything, it has to do with this life where we are in him and he is in us. There's this communion that's going on that no longer, it's not what we want. We want what he wants. He came and died for the world, or what we like to say is that he died for the worldly. And so there is this dynamic where now our prayers, the things we begin to ask for, have to do with making sure that people around us can see the proof that Jesus is alive and active and available. So it's just not a matter of the character of Christ anymore. Now I'm looking for and longing for these moments where Jesus is going to do things that I cannot do on my own. Now let me pause here. Let me take you back to that Acts chapter 1. Jesus commanded them to wait. Why? Because when you live the life of Jesus, you cannot live the life of Jesus in your own humanity, in your own flesh, in the natural. Jesus Christ, who left heaven and was born of a virgin, lived this life in the natural. And when he was baptized in water, the Spirit descended upon him and allowed him to move beyond the natural, because he needed something more. He needed the super to go along with the natural. And so you find that Jesus goes on a little bit further. Let's come back to John chapter 14. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So how do you live the life that Jesus lived fully? Well, that's why we're moving toward Pentecost, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But I want to give the principle, and then I'm going to hand it over to Rex, who's going to talk just a little bit more about this. And this is a big deal, because when you decide that, Jesus, I want your life fully, I don't want my life, I want your life fully, then you have to understand the mechanics of the supernatural. And it's simply this, is that we do the natural, and then he does the super. God's not going to come along and do the natural. That's what he's called you for. That's what he's called me for. He also doesn't call us to do the super. And here's the thing. The enemy will try to speak to your minds and hearts to get you to believe that it's based on you. If you sin less and you do this more, then now, okay, this is all the things have lined up right, and now you can do the super. God never intended for you to do the super. He does the super, and you do the natural. And when you begin to apply that principle to your life, you will allow Jesus Christ to be proved to the people who are in your world.
Absolutely. In fact, that's the reality of how this works. So the truth is that if he is alive and he's active in the world, if he's actually working in the world, we ought to be able to see the evidence of his working in the world. There should be somewhere, something that's happening that is so far beyond what just happens in the everyday world, what's just natural. So much so that it actually demands an explanation. It demands someone to say, hey, how did that happen? And that's really immediately what happens in the book of Acts with these precious people. They experience God's presence in a vital, powerful, supernal way where God shows up and shows forth, shows off, is a way of saying it as well, but shows forth his power. They're going to a prayer meeting. Acts chapter 3 records that they're headed to a prayer meeting at 9 o'clock in the morning, and there is a man lame by the gate. Now, that's not unusual because it was a regular place to beg, and it certainly was not unusual for this man because he was regularly there. He laid daily at the gate, beautiful, and probably how many times had Jesus passed by this man? We don't know, but every time he would have gone into the temple, this is the main gate, and every time that he would have gone in with his entourage. And maybe that's even why, I'd like to suppose it's probably true, that's probably why the man knew they would give him some alms, you know, because they probably had before. They had generously helped this guy many, many times. Jesus was clearly known for that. In fact, it's an interesting thing that at the Last Supper, when Jesus, you know, gives the sop to Judas, and you know the whole story. I hope you know the whole story. When it says, you know, this was the clearest sign I've ever heard of in the entire New Testament. And the next verses say, you know, when he went out of the room, the rest of the disciples had no idea where he'd gone. Because their supposition was that maybe he went to get some stuff for the Passover feast, or maybe he just went to give some money to the poor. How many times had Jesus ordered him in history to give money to the poor that would be their go-to thought at that moment in time? So this guy is asking for alms of them because these were good givers. These were those guys. And who knows, but then they looked into their wallets and pockets and things, but then they realized we don't have any silver and we don't have any gold, but we do have something to give to you. And so in the name of Jesus, they command this man to rise up and walk. And he does. They lift him up off the ground. And he, the Bible says in Acts 3, leaping up, stamps. Now this is a powerful, miraculous demonstration of God. And it's public and it is huge. And it's of such a huge nature that everybody, not only is the man screaming, not only are the apostles screaming, but the whole crowd is reacting to this. Why? Because this just doesn't happen every day. It's just giving him alms, that happens a lot. You know, his begging, that happens a lot. Him standing and walking on legs that never worked, what is that? That's supernatural. That demands an explanation. That demands a something. And that's exactly what happened. And this is why it records that on that day, as a result of their sharing how this happens, explaining why they have this power from heaven, why this could happen. And their explanation is pretty simple. They're saying Jesus is alive. He's active. It's his name. It's faith in his name that makes this man strong before you. And it's because of that, thousands of people said, you know, well, what do we do? How do we respond to this? And they said, well, you should repent, turn away from self-living and self-actualization and get into a living relationship with a God who is alive and active and is making himself available to you. And that day, it says in the scripture, 5,000 more people were added to the faith. What a powerful, now there's a good start. That's a good beginning. Why is that possible? It is possible because of the supernatural nature of the ministry. And that's why we want to talk to you about these mechanics of the supernatural. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever, the scripture says. And so what he has done, he seriously can still do and ought to still be doing. And we believe that. We're not, you know, trying to say we have a hold on the market here or that this is some new truth. This is a really old truth, but this is a really necessary truth in our modern times because the world has largely just kind of gone its own way and they're making it up as they go and they're rewriting truth and they've kind of thrown out God, not just out of the schools, but out of life in general. But the reality is he is alive. He is well. Jesus is active in the earth. And if this really ticks you off, and some of you, I'm sure it does, there's a reason for that. There's a reason that you're so incited and excited about this. And it is because this truth can impact your life. The lies that you're believing now are impacting them, your life. And it's impacting it negatively. So we want to share this truth with you because Christ is alive and well. And the truth is that if he's alive and well and active and he's making himself available to and through Holy Spirit empowered believers, then our ministries ought to be marked by not just the natural, but the super. They ought to be marked by the presence and the power and the work of Jesus Christ himself. There ought to be some things that happen in our everyday world, and may I say in our everyday world, maybe every day, and maybe not every day, but certainly from time to time, something ought to happen that there's no earthly explanation for, that you just have to be able to back up and go, well, that was the Lord's doing. That was God moving in and touching powerfully this person. And because he's alive, because he's well, I have a chance to share these things with you. And so this is the reality of what Pentecostal empowerment is actually about. And these mechanics of this miraculous really kind of divide themselves out in the terms that Rich already mentioned to you, the super and the natural. God does the super and we get to do the natural. God doesn't do the natural. And thank God you and I don't have to do the super. We've all experienced at some point in our lives some things that are pushed out there in the name of God. And they're just goofy. They're just spooky. They're just kind of, they're artificial. They look like, you know, they're just making it up as they go. This is not what we're talking about. The real supernatural is powerful and has an impact on people's world. And this is what we want you to move into. If God isn't really alive and active, none of this will work. This is not about how you can somehow force God into something. You don't. But this is how he actually wants to work. This is how he works through Christ. This is how Christ said, I'm going to work through the disciples. And this is available to you and me today. And so here's how the supernatural kind of divides out. What God has called each of us to, in a phrase, the Christ life in a phrase, is supernatural servanthood. I'd love to get you to say that with me, supernatural servanthood. And so we concentrate on serving and loving and moving in the name of Jesus, which means we have to have a motivation. There has to be something that drives us in that. And the something is what Rich talked about last week. It's this love of God. God is loving. He's gracious. He cares about people and he wants to minister to them. And so when we believe him, when we belong to him, this love of Christ gets into our hearts and we care. And so we seek to serve. I love this. We don't have to seek to rule. We get to seek to serve. There's always room for servant. Pretty much it's hard to really hate a servant, a genuine servant, because I just want to come and help. I just want to come and care. And you don't have to have a tremendous miracle of God or some tremendous healing power to do that. Have you got money? You can give it away. Have you got time? You can spend it on people. Have you got a concern for someone? You can express it. You can take the time to live out of this motivation. This is the first and best starting point for a supernatural relationship with God. It is to let this love of Christ begin to grow inside of our hearts. So we live with passion and we live with the compassion of Christ. This is the motivation. And the ministry that we engage in is just that. It's a serving ministry. It's a caring ministry. Now, I love this because when you go out into the world, you're going to find lost people. You're going to find confused people. You're going to find troubled people. You're going to find angry people. You're going to find people in every stripe, size, kind, color, you know, situation of life. And the goal that we have in them is not to fix them. It is to somehow serve them, to somehow minister to them, to somehow express the continuing love of Christ for them in their lives. And so how do we do that? We do that naturally. You get that? We do that naturally. And so imagine this. God speaks to them. They're going through. We started with the guys at the gate. Here they come down there. And they naturally, what are they going to do? Well, they're going to look for alms. I'm going to look through my pockets. I'm going to check. Hey, John, do you have any money? No, I don't have any money, Peter. Well, and then all of a sudden, here's this holy hunch. Well, you know, maybe are you feeling what I'm feeling? Is this the moment? Is this the moment? Because you see, the motivation is one thing, the ministry is one thing, but then there's the moment. This is where the super intersects with the natural, where God sort of shows up in a really powerful way, and he assists, he partners with us in this amazing show-offy kind of way. And they go, well, hey, we do have something. We thought it was going to be money, but today is your day to walk, buddy. And he's like, huh? But they had a gift that God had given to them. And so they reach down, they touch the man, and immediately he's powerfully touched by the Spirit of God. His legs receive strength, and pulling him up off the ground, he leaping up stands in the name of Jesus. A tremendous miracle has taken place, and it happened in a moment. Now, I've seen a bunch of these miracle moments. I've prayed for people who are deaf who can hear. I've prayed for people who could not see who can now see. But it's so quick. It goes by so fast. It's a moment. Imagine this moment. We live in a world where we replay everything. We want the instant replay. We want the version where you take that back. In fact, I want the super slow-mo instant replay. Every little tiny. Imagine this. It's in a moment. And so when we think about this miraculous demonstration of God, we think of the moment, and we just want to repeat that. That's how we live. No, it's a moment. It's a moment. But that moment produces a place for us to share a message. And the message is that God is alive. He's active. He's making himself available. He's right here, right now. And the reason that this happens right here, right now, is because he is here. And let me tell you about him. Now that he has your attention, let me share with you the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that day, thousands of people made commitments to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the same ministry that God has called us to today, that he's wanting you to move forward to. It's the whole reason we're targeting Pentecostal empowerment for your life. So Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you will just help us with that. And we pray specifically that you will touch each and every person who has a chance to share this time and message with us, that you will show up powerfully in their lives, that you will show forth your calling on their lives, and that you will speak to them, and that you will empower them. You will save them, you will fill them with the Holy Spirit, and you will manifest yourself to and through them. We believe you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that this video has blessed you. If it has, will you hit the subscribe button below or the like button? You could also share it with your friends, or you could put a prayer request up on our prayer wall. As always, have a blessed week, and we hope to see you soon.